One touch of nature makes the whole world kin. That's a quote from William Shakespeare. One touch of nature makes the whole world kin. And in a few weeks, we'll be having a speaker here from Homeboy Industries who talks about this whole concept of radical kinship. Radical kinship. We'll get to that later. That message, that quote from William Shakespeare, it relates to this day, and if you happen to go online today and use that search engine called Google, there's a short clip about a minute and a half from Dr. Jane Goodall, as she has a message for the world today. And it's playing from that main page all day. Echoes the sentiment contained here in the words of William Shakespeare. She recounts her love for all creatures on our planet. She ends with a description that is incredibly spiritual. It's as she's spent time in the jungle, it's been pouring down rain. And she describes this moment where the rain breaks, the sun comes out, and all the smells of the jungle and the forest come alive. The insects, everything in the forest and the jungle are celebrating life with her. And she describes this feeling of being ultimately connected to everything else. This feeling of being at one with everything else. At one with that connection to life. Well, what does that have to do with the Bible, Reverend Brown? I'm glad you asked. There's another word that we are familiar with that has a very probably historically a different connotation, but it's in there in the Bible, and we know it as atonement. If you break that word apart, it becomes at-one-ment. At-one-ment. That's the feeling she's describing, which is incredibly spiritual. It's a feeling of connection to all. And if we are able to, every time we come across that word in the Bible, we pause and we try and connect with our own at-one-ment, we're on a deeper spiritual path. We still have much work to do to align ourselves more fully to ourselves, harmony with our neighbor, our creator, and ultimately with all of creation, to feel at-one-ment. So here we are, Earth Day 2018, and I'm going to start off with a little bit of the situation, just kind of recounting where things have changed and what we know from Earth Day 2017. This day was founded when Senator Gaylord Nelson founded Earth Day in 1970. His hope was to make the environment a political issue in an era where U.S. rivers caught on fire, thick smoke, and smog choked many of our cities. Since Earth Day of last year, we've learned more about the present situation on our planet. We have a plastic problem in our oceans. You can read all about that. There is growing knowledge about how that is all operating, and if you understand how food chains work and why fish eating plastic is potentially a problem, that's there. We need to come up with better solutions to clean our oceans and do something with all the plastic that's already there. Other highlights that are there that are not so hot, we lost the last northern white rhino in Sudan recently, as well as some other species. On the upside, other species that were on the brink of extinction have been starting to make a comeback, including the black-eyed leaf frog and some other species that are bouncing back. Other things that we've learned this past year, the ice in Greenland, it's melting faster than expected. This means that oceans are going to be rising at a faster pace than had been predicted. Something I didn't know until I looked this up. Since 1950, just here on our ocean fronts in America, sea levels have already risen 6.5 inches since 1950. Those are only going to be accelerating with more ice melting. Other things we've learned, we're woefully unprepared for major disasters. Hurricane Maria ripped through the Caribbean with 150 mile an hour winds, upward of 36 inches of rain last September, knocking down 80% of the electrical infrastructure and creating the largest blackout in U.S. history for Puerto Rico's 3.3 million residents. And that was only underscored with the blackouts in this past few weeks. On a personal note, I've met people here who had a personal, a relative, a brother, died from Hurricane Harvey. I know people up in Sonoma devastated by the fires that we had here in California. And for all of us that are local here, we could see the fires actually from here at Wayfarers Chapel, the largest fire in modern California history, with the Thomas Fire just north of us burning 273,400 acres, December of 2017. Usually we don't think about these things until there's a big price tag. Well, we just came up with a price tag that's around $306 billion to cover all of those devastations in this past year. So hopefully we start to address it a bit more forcefully. But I'm not here to talk about everything that's doom and gloom out there. I'm actually quite hopeful. And the parable, the scripture today, speaks to everything about hope. The parable that Jesus gives us. If a shepherd has 100 sheep, one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So is it not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost? My friends, to one degree or another, whether it's us or us in the collective 7 billion plus, we've gone a bit astray as a species on our planet. Collectively, we can do better. And a lot of this is ultimately a spiritual solution. We transform ourselves, the world is also going to be transformed. The two relationships are interconnected. Our feeling of at one moment, and that moment when we realize God and us and our relation to everything else is ultimately part of that oneness. We're not separate from creation. We are integral to what is created. So where do we go from here? At the deeper spiritual level, there's one perspective which I will share, which is that ultimately what we're seeing out there in the world is a reflection of what's already inside us. That out there could not happen if it wasn't happening inside us to one degree or another. The pollution we consume in the form of negativity, the form of all those things that we consume unconsciously, not with a spiritual perspective. The more that we shift and ignite the spiritual within us, that nuclear level that is God, we transform our inner being. The outer world is going to reflect back our own shifted inner reality. How do we go about that? I'm glad you asked. One thing is simply being proactive instead of reactive. Here's a good example. If I'm telling you that a rhinoceros is going to run in here in 30 seconds, you're probably going to move. If it's true. If I tell you that a rhino is going to come in here in 30 years from this moment, exactly, the chances of you moving right now, quite minimal. My friends, that is exactly what is there with the environment and how we're adapting or not to it. The rhino is already on its way, and whether we're doing something now is the difference. Things we can do today. I want to give you some real moment possibilities. We all probably live somewhere, consume energy. One thing, one shift that I made recently was, and there are a bunch out there, but I found Arcadia Power. And it's a way to not do anything different. All you do is make a switch to how electricity comes to your household. They manage it. And everything that you spend per month goes 100% towards renewables, wind, solar, all of that. I feel better turning on a switch in the light than I'm using that. Other things you can do today, plant some milkweed. Milkweed, you heard about the monarchs and the butterflies and all of that. A lot of the natural milkweed that is part of the migration pattern is no longer there. True story, because I went to UC Santa Barbara, and one of the things that I just happened to stumble across when I was out running, was Elmwood Grove. It's those eucalyptus grove trees where I walked into it, and you look up, and there are literally millions of monarch butterflies. Just, I described it as just kind of like dripping from the trees. There's so many, they're just kind of like everywhere, and you can't even see the tree branches because they're there. I was planning on taking my children this year because they're there in February, usually, and I discovered because of the recent drought, all that growth of eucalyptus trees died. They no longer have that. These are things that are happening in real time. I've told other stories of other years on this, but you know, everything that we do has some impact. And we can all do something. Something as simple as eating one meal a week that doesn't include meat. If you know about the connection between how much it takes to produce meat, all the things that it taxes on the environment, one simple thing. If you're extremely ambitious, I've got a solution. The solution to global warming. I'm going to share it right here, right now. It involves feeding cows red seaweed. Yes, it is so silly that it's actually quite fun, because did you know that there are 1.5 billion cows on the planet? Did you know that they belch methane gas? If you didn't know that, you now know that. It's one thing that for all you children, you can share this information as well. That equates to more than 7 billion metric tons, which is more than all airplane and car transportation that we do combined. Belching cows. Blame those cows. What they discovered is if you feed them red seaweed, it reduces methane production in them by 99%. Pretty amazing. So, you now know what you have to do today. Go find some red seaweed, find a cow, and feed that cow some seaweed. There are other things. But wait, there's more. We all know the other ones. Reduce, reuse, recycle. But I like to draw upon wisdom. In other years, I've gone from, the concept of thinking, again, proactively into the future. And the Iroquois Federation, Constitution of the Iroquois Nations, has the great binding law. In every deliberation, we must consider the impact on the seventh generation, even if it requires having skin as thick as the bark of a pine. Seven generations into the future. If you can hold that concept in every deliberation, you've already made a difference. And I'll leave this with a few other things. One thing, if you've taken my spiritual practice experiential courses, I'm a big fan of not only the earth and concept, but actually feeling that connection. I'll invite you to do that now. Usually you feel this connection at the base of the spine, but simply a basic connection to the planet. Feeling it through our feet, feeling it through our bodies, feeling that connection that we already have, that modern society always disrupts, finds ways of disrupting that connection. So I invite you today, it's Earth Day, it's right there in the name, simply feel that connection, that basic connection to the Earth, to the planet, ultimately to our Creator. We have the parable of the 99 sheep. All is not lost. In the metaphor of that, it also means no matter what you've done in your life, no matter how bad you feel you are, God loves you. Nobody is beyond redemption. You can be redeemed. You are not lost. You can be found. God is on your side. God wants you, loves you, is always there for you. We can all live life more closely connected to God, to our neighbors, to a greater sense of being and purpose on this planet. Happy Earth Day, everyone. May God add blessings to this day, to the healing of our planet, for this day and for all days to come. Amen.
You ever sing at home?